Actually, I wanted to make fiction films. And I live in Stockholm. I went there because I applied for film school there for directing and got pretty far in the, was like in the last group, and then I didn't enter, and also in Copenhagen. And then when I got my first child, who's now 20, I realized making fiction films and having family was a difficult thing to combine. But I always been interested in documentary films and journalism, so I actually started to make documentaries then, because you could combine that. So I actually made, also worked for the Swedish television, I made like children's documentaries, so one in the Antarctic when my older daughter was 10. I went with the Swedish exhibition because of the 100 years anniversary of the first Swedish Antarctic exhibition of Otto Nordenskiöld. So we went there and I made like a documentary film and series. And then later with my daughter who is now 15, I went to Greenland, to Ilulissat, and we made a film there also. So it's just a wonderful way of combining my interests. Sometimes you could say that making documentary films is like an excuse for traveling. And the nice thing is also you meet so many people.
Welcome to the University of Manitoba's Icelandic Radio Journal, a continuing series of shorts documenting interviews and fragments that highlight Icelandic culture in Winnipeg. This special Radio Journal series was created in commemoration of the 60th anniversary of the establishment of the chair of the Icelandic department at the University of Manitoba. This episode features documentary filmmaker Helga Bracka, who speaks to us about two of her films, Iceland's Artists and Sagas, and A Writer with a Camera, from the lobby of the historic Hotel Fort Garry in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Both films were shown as part of the 60th anniversary celebration of the Icelandic Department in September 2011. Nobel Prize-winning Icelandic writer Halldór Laxness says, "The landscape of Iceland is steeped in literature. Within it, one is amidst the terrain of the sagas. Every fjord, valley, and river is bound to a medieval saga." Helga Brekkan's Iceland's Artists and Sagas is a film which explores the Icelandic artist's relationship to the saga heritage.
Yes, this is a film about, just a few Icelandic writers and artists and their relationship with the old heritage of sagas. And the reason I wanted to make this film was that I was in Iceland in 2008 when the crisis started. And living abroad, I live in Stockholm and also spend a lot of time in Berlin, but of course I'm a lot in Iceland because I love to be there. And I just, like so many Icelanders living abroad, I was deeply struck by this crisis and sort of this reputation that, okay, now they were just foolish bankers and they destroyed it all and they were cheating like with iSave and things like that. And I think like deep down I felt like making something positive about Iceland, not only, okay, they're not good at banking. This whole economic boom was a big lie, and this materialism and these values. And also it bothered me a lot to hear like the president and businessmen and bankers always these cliches about the Vikings, about the sagas and blah blah blah, and like as if the bankers and the politicians and the tourists sort of were making cliches out of everything. And then I started to make this film together with the German company for Arte, because we couldn't get any money in Iceland to do it. And it has been an interesting journey for me also to work with the German television and the editors at Arte, because they always try to push me into this cliché corner. So I also had to fight for that, and it's a little bit of compromise because this is the TV world as well. So it's been interesting for me to notice that both in Sweden and Germany they want us to be like this cliché. And of course, when you meet the authors and the writers, and some things they say also in the film, they sound like clichés because they talk about nature and they talk about the sagas, and of course they're influenced. So actually I just wanted to reclaim the sagas and the nature quietly and try to do it in a subtle way, just to give you a sort of feeling that they are there, but we shouldn't exaggerate that as well. I mean, nature is a part of us, and you grow up in a country with this beautiful nature, and it, of course, it influences you, but you're also influenced by the whole world and everything coming, and of course you have the internet and you travel, and especially when you grow up in a small island like that, you look a lot abroad. And like for me, actually when I was living in Iceland, I was always looking abroad, reading foreign books and so. And living abroad, I tend to look more back to Iceland. There's one thing, there's the language, and that is like the treasure of the Icelandic culture. And that's also, I'm very interested in languages. I know a few languages, and of course, because I also live in Sweden, I know the Scandinavian, I lived in Norway as well, and it's just such a treasure for me to be able to understand the medieval stories, and that the language has changed so little, and also that there is a nation of only 300,000 people speaking this language. I mean, it's just like in one neighborhood in any big city. But about the sagas, I mean, it would be exaggerating to say that everybody is reading the sagas all the time, but they are actually very close in the language, and it's like from Njáls saga, when Gunnar decided not to leave the country when he fell off his horse, and he said, I don't know how it's in English, Fögur er hlíðin. And you only have to say that. I mean, if I come to Iceland, I've been abroad for a long time, and people have moved back, and I just say Fögur er hlíðin, and it's enough to say one quotation, everybody knows what you're talking about, and that just means that you have the nostalgia and you have to stay in your, so it's like in the fabric, and it's actually amazing how close it is. But on the other hand, like I said, it felt like the president on the other side sort of hijacked this heritage, and it was like banalized. You say banalized? And you became trivialized. Yeah. Yes. And I think it's important just to try to see it, what it is. Yeah. And it's actually the Icelandic contribution to history of literature. Cultural history of the world, and also Iceland's nature. I think it's so important to realize that we have this beautiful nature. And like 10 years ago, I made a documentary about aluminium factories and the destroying of beautiful areas. And that was a big crime, and they started to do that. And it also started all this economic so-called boom in Iceland. And for me, blowing up these canyons and building this biggest hydroelectric power station in the Kárahnjúkar area, just to provide electricity for this huge aluminium factories, multinational companies who are exploiting people in other countries, getting a bauxite and also producing the aluminium in Iceland for very low prices, until recently secret prices. And it was just so humiliating to see also how the politicians and a lot of people sort of acted as if it was a colony. And I mean, nobody would say, well, let's take the old manuscripts of Flatey book, this calfskin manuscript, or Njáls saga or Snorri Edda, and burn it. because the multinational company is paying us a lot for the ash, but they are destroying the nature for that, and nature and the sagas, they are like the treasures of Iceland.
The other of Helmer's films, The Writer with the Camera, was shown at the Lady of the Lake Theatre in Gimli, Manitoba. It is a documentary on Guðbergur Bergsson, Iceland's most significant living artist. A Writer with a Camera jumps forward and back in time through the juxtaposition of Helmer's present-day digital footage and Guðbergur's Super 8 films from his time as a young man in Spain.
Again, this is a film about the writer Guðbergur Bergsson. Writer I always admired and read, and not only that, he's a great Icelandic writer, he's also a great translator from Spanish and Portuguese. Actually, when I made this film about the dams and the aluminium factories, I interviewed him, so he's like an oracle in the beginning and the end of the film. And the things he said then, 10 years ago, they all sort of fortunately come true. He is also a very sharp critic in the Icelandic, a very important voice, mm-hmm. independent voice. So I got access to a lot of his Super 8 material, and it was a joy to be allowed to use that as a fabric to tell the story of his life. Guðbergur is just I think most of us, or people who are sort of want to create, they can go from two different mediums. And he was also in art, and then he was filming, and now he's mainly writing, but he's filming again. It's a luxury to have a lot of Super 8 footage because it has such a deep, strong feeling. So, and it's also nice that it's always, I made a film about a Swedish writer, Göran Tunström, passed away. And his case, it was about a book he wrote in Iceland about volcanoes. So I had also the opportunity to use old footage from volcanoes and stuff. It's always, I think it's a challenge to make a film about writers because actually it's very boring to film somebody sitting and writing or somebody talking about writing. It's not that visual, you know. So that's why I hope I manage to sort of show his way of seeing and also his way of getting inspired.